The scripture reading this morning is Luke 15, 1 to 10, and it is from the Good News Bible. The Lost Sheep. One day, when many tax collectors and other outcasts came to listen to Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law started grumbling. This man welcomes outcasts and even eats with them. So Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. What do? You leave the other 99 sheep in the pasture and go looking for the one that got lost until you find it. When you find it, you are so happy that you put it on your shoulders and you carry it back home. Then you call your friends and neighbors together and say to them, I am so happy I found my lost sheep. Let us celebrate. In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 respectable people who do not need to repent. The parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman who has 10 silver coins loses one of them. What does she do? She lights a lamp, sweeps her house, and looks carefully everywhere until she finds it. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says to them, I am so happy I found the coin I lost. Let us celebrate. In the same way, I tell you, the angels of God rejoice over one sinner who repents. God bless the reading of this holy scripture.
I'm grateful for Carol for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in prayer? Lord, we thank you. We thank you because this is alive. Not simply a dead language, not simply ink on paper, but rather something that is living and breathing and infused with your Holy Spirit. Help us to be open to its truth and power. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I want you to go ahead and look on either side of you right now. I want you to go ahead and look at who's there or in front of you or behind you. Okay, and then I have a question. Are you comfortable with the company you're keeping around you right now? Okay? If the answer is no, I don't know how you're going to be able to move subtly. And you know what? The other person might want to move also, actually. I was thinking about personal space the other day whenever I was getting into the elevator at the hospital, and there were a number of people there, and anytime you get in the elevator, everybody here been in an elevator, possibly? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. You go in, and there's kind of this dance that starts, you know, and some people kind of are there. Yeah, I'm not moving. I don't care if you're clergy or not. I don't care. You know, other people move aside because you are clergy as though they're going to catch something. I don't know, but, you know, and so it's kind of an interesting thing, this movement around the elevator, you know, and most people want to try to get against the wall, and if you're standing in the middle, it's like, okay, come on, don't push all the buttons. You know, let's just get to our floor. In fact, I understand that there's a movie that's coming out. Some of you maybe have seen this advertisement. There's a movie that's coming out where there are people trapped in an elevator, and one of the people is the devil. Now, I don't want you the next time you're in an elevator and somebody's in your personal space saying, the pastor said, you're evil. Not what I want you to do. Personal space. Who is in our personal space? Who we are comfortable being with. This is something that as Christians, we will have to look at. We will have to look at it. There's a reason for this. Our namesake, Jesus Christ. If you call yourself Christian, he's your namesake. was the one who gathered with all sorts of people from all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of situations and circumstances. That's why the church, which is we are part of, all of us here, is called to have its doors open to each and every person who comes in. And therefore, if there's somebody that comes in that might challenge you or stretch where you are in your personal space, that's probably a good thing. In fact, it's probably a God thing. And God is helping you to be able to grow and expand in your understanding in who His children really are. Isn't it wonderful, actually a blessing, whenever we can see more and more people and experience God at work in them or sense God at work in them? It's actually encouraging for us. Maybe it gives us hope because we say, hey, God ain't finished with me yet either. God is at work in my life as well. The scripture passages speak of who is part of the body of Christ? Who is going to be welcome? And it does so in a very interesting way. You understand, or if you look back in Luke chapter 14, right at the beginning of that chapter, it says that Jesus was going to be dining with a leader who was a member of the Pharisees. Now, in chapter 15, who is he dining with? Tax collectors, sinners, those who were seen on the outside of good society, quote unquote. Anybody who was, quote unquote, religious, let's just go ahead and say it in this context, in positions of political authority, would not have wanted to be seen with such individuals. There's an image here as well of God as shepherd. And let me go ahead and get right to the point here. Whenever it says about sheep being lost, one going out for the one, and the other 99 are here, okay? It's not us going out. It's God coming after us. Let me get right to the point. That's the truth of this scripture. Before we get self-righteous as Christians and say, okay, God wants me to go out and get some of those fuzzy woolly critters, you're that fuzzy woolly critter. And God's coming to you and continuing to approach you. And it's not going to stop until you know Him in the most intimate and loving way possible through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? For us, there's hope in that. Now, certainly, you think about that story. There's 99 sheep, and there's one lost. And you say, well, you know, Herb, that's his name. The sheep's name is Herb. Yeah, he's always trouble anyways. He gives me problems. He's always wandering off in the thicket. And why bother? Now, I'm sorry for anybody named Herb here. That's not personal. But, you know, you go off. And you're searching around. And one of the things that you have to realize about sheep is it would have taken a lot of effort. Okay, now I didn't grow up on a farm like some of you, but I understand this about sheep, is that whenever they get separated, they get kind of fearful and they get nervous because they know, okay, there's a sense, okay, there's predators out there. There's somebody who's going to look at me as a delicious lamb chop. And so I need to find cover. And so they get themselves hidden in a thicket oftentimes. So it's not like they're just standing out there in the field. It would take real work, in other words, for the shepherd to go out and find that lost sheep. Has God worked hard in your life? Has God worked hard in your life? In a particular stretch of your life, in a particular moment of your life, in a moment of brokenness and grieving and weeping, and God was there to be able to help you just to get to the next moment. He was a shepherd there, working hard to find His sheep, to be in the life of His sheep. God never gives up on us, never will, never has, and loves us and fills us with that love and grace more than we can imagine. Working hard on our behalf to find us, to guide us, to sustain us, and to help us to be able to follow the path that He would have us follow. That means when one comes back in, who has been lost, who has been doing their own thing, into the body, we, as that body, are called to welcome them, to love them, and say, brother, sister, welcome back. You were missed. It's good to see you again. Because we know how much work God has put into that life to bring them back. Another story. A lost coin. I just happen to have one right here. Now, I'm going to look for that afterwards. I'm just sharing that right now. I thought it was going to be like when a baseball goes into the stands and everybody starts running, you know, or shifting over a little bit slowly but surely. I'm going to look for that afterwards. Because, like I said, a good friend of mine gave that to me, and I'd like to hold on to it. Our lives belong to God. So when we're lost out there, when we... You know, there's always one in a crowd, really? You know that? Always one. That wasn't even the call and response part of the sermon yet, so... And it's not a chocolate coin either, so don't... There's a coming back. There's a receiving, there's a hospitality that is afforded us. And it's afforded us because God has worked in our lives, God is at work in that life that He's bringing back. And sometimes we are the life that God is bringing back, speaking to. In Luke 15, just continuing in this chapter that we read this morning, the prodigal son. Very familiar passage. Very familiar scripture passage. And at the end of that, it says these words, "Then the father said to him," the father, God, said to the son, the child, the daughter, each of us, "Son, daughter, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother or sister of yours was dead and has come to life. He, she was lost and has been found." Jesus assures us, you see, that God is a step ahead. Home is always waiting. Love's door is always open. You know, we might not feel as though we're able to continue on the journey because of the challenges. And we might feel as though we need to just kind of hide out from God for a while. Life is overwhelming. There's too many things. There's too many challenges, too many transitions. And maybe we even wonder where God has been. I don't know if you've ever had that thought, but if you have, you're not alone. And it's okay to have that thought, because God's going to continue to minister to you. Even if you wonder where He's been, He continues to hold you in His hands. You know, God's all around you, and you're wondering. We are wondering. Each of us has had those times where we wonder, where are you, God? The journey can sometimes be difficult, but I heard about an extraordinary journey involving three individuals. And the extraordinary efforts it took for them to complete this journey. This speaks to the difficulties that life can throw at us, and yet how we can overcome those if we trust in God and have faith in God. Dan Nevins, Neil Duncan, and Kirk Bauer. I don't know if you've heard of any of those individuals. They're all veterans. Another reason why I mention them is this weekend. They're all veterans. Dan Nevins lost both legs. Neil Duncan lost both legs. Kirk Bauer lost one leg. And yet these three veterans with team, you know, support teams, completed the climbing of Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, Africa's tallest peak, 19,330 feet. One good leg between three people. One leg remaining between three people. And yet because of perseverance and their own individual faith in God's providence and being able to encourage them, they were able to do this. Now certainly, this is a physical challenge, and we can come up with countless stories of physical challenges that people overcame through God's grace and believing and trusting in God. But what about the spiritual challenges? What about those challenges to our faith? When we see something that happens that isn't right, when we see somebody hurt and we just cry out to God, why would you let this happen? When we hear about disasters, when we remember 9/11. Our God continues to be at work even when evil seems to have the upper hand. Our God never stops being at work. Even though the presence of evil is real in the world, God is still the one in control. On the cross, that points to victory. That points to being on the winning side, if you will. That through the crucifixion, the burial, and then the resurrection and ascension, we understand that God has won victory over death. And so evil will never have the final say in the world. You might feel like you're standing next to that devil right in that elevator, but he's never going to have the final victory. We know who does. God, through Jesus Christ, and the saving relationship that we're each afforded by that sacrifice and that victory. Mercy is extended to us and has been extended to us, hasn't it? And we have all sorts of situations that we can think of. But are you ever a little bit disappointed when mercy is extended to somebody that you don't think is worthwhile? Maybe. Let me tell you about another person who felt that way. Jonah. Now this is actually spit up by the whale or big fish, whatever you want to say, whatever your translation says, or Leviathan or Behemoth, whatever your translation says. And Jonah hears the word that God's going to offer mercy to someone else he doesn't think is worthwhile. Now understand, he's been offered God's mercy all along. It's been washed over him. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, this is some prayer, by the way. This is a prayer. Oh, Lord! Is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? This is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. You know, there's a sign as we leave the church that says you're entering the mission field. I think on the other sign, whenever you come in, it should say, no whining zone, okay? Jonah was a whiner. Let's just face it. And he didn't want God's mercy to be offered to anyone else. Thank you for putting up with that, what I just did. But he didn't want God's mercy to be offered to anyone else. He thought, I'm righteous. God, I've done everything you wanted me to do. Well, he did it begrudgingly. He was filled with God's mercy every step of the way. It was only because of God that he ever even got through it to his destination. And yet he forgot all about that in the blink of an eye whenever God didn't do what he wanted him to do. Understanding that God is the one who is the pursuer, the one who seeks a deep love relationship with us, a covenant with us. Understanding that is essential. And then realizing that God seeks that kind of relationship with all of his children, with all of those that he has created, reminds us that it is not simply ours to be hospitable and to show hospitality as the church. It is not simply our response to thank him for the incredible mercy that he has shown in our lives and helping us with the difficult parts of our journey, but it is also ours to be gracious enough, sharing God's grace, and be merciful enough to allow others to be touched with that mercy as well. There's a story of God speaking to a farmer and offering the farmer three blessings. And the farmer had a neighbor that he wasn't particularly happy about. But he heard God and said, okay, I want 100 cattle. Well, God gave him 100 cattle, but he gave his neighbor 200 cattle. Okay. The farmer said, I want 100 acres. Granted him 100 acres, but he gave his neighbor 200 acres. And then the farmer said to God, I want one blind eye. And you know what God did? He wept. When we do not show hospitality and welcome, when we do not show love, when we do not allow God's mercy to touch all of his children and begrudge God that privilege as though it's our decision in the first place, then my friends, we are indeed lost. The hope is this, that God continues to be at work in our lives. What a joy that is. That God continues to surprise us. Whenever we're hiding out in that thicket and we think that nobody cares about us, it's God, the shepherd, who is looking diligently for us. And whenever he finds us, he literally carries us. It's in the word also. He picks us up and he carries us back. With that coin that needs a light, that needs a broom, that needs a lot of work and effort to find, God is putting that into our lives. Shouldn't we be gracious enough to allow God's grace to fill others as well and allow that mercy to wash over our brothers and sisters in Christ? This morning, as you go from this place, know this truth. God is at work in your life. Know this also, that if you're hiding out from God, if you're kind of taking a break, God is pursuing you, not to punish you, but rather to call you back, to carry you back into his fold, into his church, into the embrace of his love. Know that wherever you are in the journey, whatever challenges you are facing, God is with you on that journey. And know most assuredly, most of all, that because of the saving sacrifice of Christ on the cross and his resurrection and what God did through that miracle of atonement and grace that changed the world forever, you are also changed because God is the one to define you and no one else. That, my friends, is hope. That is power. That is incredible, abundant love that is very real for our situation and our particular situation. This morning, we have a celebration before we have our call to discipleship. We have members that are joining, individuals that are joining, individuals that are responding to the call of God in their lives to be part of this faith community, to be part of this flock, if you will. I would share this also, that as Edna Bell and Richard Grossenbaugh, Bob White, Joyce White, Jack Gundy, Rose Gundy, Polly Gailey, Brenda Martin, Todd Martin, and Jason Smith, if you come forward right now to the front, if you would come forward right now and actually stand up here, because I want people to be able to receive you. They've been looking at me all morning and they're tired of it, believe me. So they want a change of scenery. If you folks go ahead and just stand up here. There's a place on our narrow slip of paper where you can check if you'd like to join the church. If you've checked that and I haven't gotten a chance to talk to you yet or visit with you about that yet, that's why you're not up here right now. There's no other reason. Also, if you'd like to join the church, I'm not going to be high pressure, believe me. I'm going to be very, very, very low key about it. But these friends, I've met with each and every one of them. We've talked, we've prayed, we've talked about the church, but we've also talked about their saving relationship with God through Christ, and it's a celebration to welcome you all this morning. Questions for you first. It's not a pop quiz, not difficult either. Do you believe in the one true God and Him at work in your life at this very moment? If so, please respond with, I do. Do you claim a saving relationship with that God through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and namesake? If so, please respond with, I do. Do you open yourself now to the working of God's Holy Spirit in your life and actually in each and every breath and trust in the power of that Holy Spirit? If so, please respond with, I do. And will you also be open to sharing in whatever way God guides you to building His kingdom here, to supporting this church, but also then to sharing the good news in your life and in your words in whatever way God guides you? And if so, please respond with, I will. We welcome you, and will you agree to support these brothers and sisters in Christ in your love and in your prayer and encourage them as they become part of this house of God? If so, please respond with, amen.
Amen.
We welcome you into the house of God. Thank you. Thank you.